Okay, you should have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. And we're now going to begin looking at these practical needs as Paul lists the three for us that we're to be concerned with that is going to be of a nature that the majority of the saints in the local assembly are going to function in as offices. And your first attempts, and I don't mean that there's going to be any failure, but your first experience at laboring with your father in his business in the local assembly is generally going to be in these three areas. As Paul says there in verse 8, after finishing off the first four of those gifts, he says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." And in our last lesson, we talked about how that just in preparatory to this, that you're going to be called upon to produce some real sonship thinking yourself and figure out some things as far as how you're going to function in giving, ruling, showing mercy in the local assembly and figure some of this out all on your own. Well, let's begin looking at this first practical need that every assembly has that is going to be a big part of your labor with your Heavenly Father in this local assembly. Paul says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And so there's our first general office in which we can function, and that is giving. Well, you should have thought about some of this between whenever we started this and now. And hopefully you've thought about some things, and when it comes to giving, this first, like I say, practical need office is going to be done with simplicity. And we'll get to this issue of why giving is done with simplicity. But when you... Well, before I ask you about the giving thing, let me just ask you, and don't answer this, just it's a rhetorical question. But maybe after what I said last time and everything, my question would be, if I was talking to you personally or privately, I would try to determine if there's any, and I mean any at all, of, say, a level of frustration about giving being an office that you're supposed to function in. I mean, after all, there's been a heck of a lot of giving being going on in this church for almost 20 years. But now you're telling me that it's an office that I'm expected to function in. I guess what I'm asking is, are you a little bit frustrated in the fact that you're not being told exactly what it is that you're supposed to give? Because the truth is, and this could go for ruling, well, you're just going to tell me I'm supposed to rule with diligence. Well, I'm sitting around here waiting. Well, tell me what to rule or where to rule or how's that supposed to be done? And that's what I'm after here. Now, I don't want you to play good poker with me because I don't even give it away. But the question is, where you sit right now, is there a level of frustration with the fact that you're not being exactly told exactly what it is you're supposed to do, to give, to rule? Because all these three offices are very broad and general terms that describe the three offices of practical need that every assembly has. Well, I'm going to address some of that frustration a little bit later on, but I just want to tell you that by the time we get done with all of this, if there is any measure of that, it ought to be turned not only completely around, but what you should be doing is with great joy saying, "Yeah, I want to function this way, and I don't want my father to tell me exactly how I'm supposed to do it. Because this is one of the first times that I'm going to be able to prove to him that I can think, that I can perceive, that I'm not just some dumb son, but I'm actually a son that has some intelligence. Because if everything's worked properly, you have the intelligence to figure this out. There's not a one of you in this room, and that includes children, who could not have, if they have the effectual working of what has taken place right now, the ability to be able to figure out what you're going to be called upon to figure out. So don't think, it's like a, kind of like I was thinking about that officer thing. They don't ever take an officer and stick him into battle unless he's well prepared and able to figure things out. He has the skills. He has the ability. And that's what you're going to have. So it's not going to be setting you out adrift at sea with no skill whatsoever. But that's why we've got a little ways to go. Well, we'll come back to this a little later on. But let's come back to the issue of giving for right now and do something kind of light, actually, instead of all that heavy stuff. But thinking about that word giving, what is the most common thing or way in which, and I've asked you this before, that something is given in a local assembly?
Money.
Finances. The giving of your money, the giving of finances. And granted, most of Christianity today makes that the biggest thing that you could possibly give. I noticed I didn't see any of it, but as I was going through my table of contents on my channels at home, I saw that on one of the religious channels, they're now having their fall telethon, give-a-thon, praise-a-thon, who-a-thon, what-a-thon. I don't know what kind of thon it is, but it's some kind of a thon. What really got me was it was fall. I don't know if any of these guys have ever checked the calendar yet, but that doesn't occur until like the 22nd day of September, so I don't know why they're calling it a fall raise-a-thon. Why don't they be... But that just, again, the kind of dishonesty that occurs, but you've got a lot of the bulk of what goes on behind the scenes in denominations especially, and in most churches, the whole issue of the driving issue behind everything they do is money. The driving issue, and this is the sad part of it, behind, for instance, why a pastor would refuse to teach certain aspects of God's Word has to do with money. It may turn people off. It may drive people away. It may lower our bottom line. It may be a threat to my income. And so he's not going to do that. A great deal of what is done behind the pulpit is for either the raising of money or not doing teaching aspects because of the fear of possibly losing money. And you have no idea, and I mean this, you have no idea how that drives the churches in this country and around the world. But that's the driving factor. It's all this, oh God, godliness, and I love Jesus, and all this kind of... No, that's all for show. But the vast majority of them, the reason they do what they do or refrain from doing what they do, even if they see God's Word and honestly realize He says this is what ought to be done and they don't do it anyway, is for that reason more than anything else. It's a monetary thing. Well, giving is most commonly thought of as giving money. And most folks think about it in connection with that in a local assembly, giving their finances. But you and I both know there's a whole bunch of ways other than that that really go to meet practical needs, other practical needs that you can actually give something as a member of the body of a local church. And it doesn't have to do with money. As a matter of fact, Paul even teaches later on in 2 Corinthians when he talks about the issue of giving and giving under grace and all these kinds of things, that there's ways in which you can give when you have nothing to give. And that's okay and that's fine. And so what I'm talking about is when you have no money, no finances really at your disposal to give. But there's a bunch of ways, other ways in which you can meet practical needs in assembly. What would be some of those other ways? You give your time. What else?
Love.
Your love. Okay. That's a good one. Didn't have that on my list, but that's a good one. What?
Labor.
Your labor. Yeah. Anybody else?
Your ear.
Yeah. It's funny that you're doing what I kind of thought you would do. You're starting to leech over into showing mercy, which is okay. I mean, that's an office, right? We're after functioning in an office. So, big deal. So
your skills,
yeah. Or your expertise in a particular area, right. Yeah. What about your possessions? You may actually have something, well, I don't, you know, that you, it's not a transaction of money, but it's a transaction of possessions that And I'm not talking about giving, don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about you giving me your possessions. I'm talking about helping each other out. Sometimes it's not a monetary thing at all. Sometimes it's just something that you have that somebody else would be better served with having, and you could help meet that need or help meet a need in a local assembly. I can't tell you, I used to laugh at every time I'd go into an old church or a long-established church. Whenever you go down, I'd do this sometimes when nobody was looking. I'd go down into the kitchen. Usually the kitchen is in the basement. It's always fun to just pull the drawer out and look at the silverware because none of it matched. It was just a bunch, a collection of silverware. And you knew what would happen was that people were just giving pieces of their silverware to the church when they didn't have any more use for them. And they were just a bunch of mismatched pieces and all that kind of thing. But you can give... anybody else got anything that leaps to mind? Just letting you have an opportunity. How about, that's pretty much what I've got. Your time, your talent, possessions, your experience, your expertise. Other resources you may have at your disposal, such as giving to others in the assembly to help their particular need. And again, this kind of bleeds a little bit into showing mercy, but it may be a thing that you could actually give somebody a ride to church. Maybe their car's in the garage or something. But there's other things that you can give and other practical ways in which you can give in the assembly to help others, even so they can continue their sonship education. Pardon? Yeah, that's a big deal now. Our website, yeah. I'm going to come back to that, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, as far as our local assembly here is concerned, I will say this, a lot of you have been doing a lot of these things already. But what I'm after here is that you now are going to have to look and view it, and that may be what needs to be done. Maybe that's all that needs to be done in your particular case. Others, you need to actually determine to labor with your Father. But in some of your cases, it's a matter of coming along and having to view those things in a different perspective than you ever have before. And now you own that. That's a living reality because that's what my Father taught me. That I'm not just doing something, like I say, I'm not just polishing something or cleaning something for the sake of cleaning it. But more than that, I'm now able to view that as having an actual office that I'm fulfilling in giving to my local assembly and giving to the benefit of the body with all those body attributes of cooperating with it, of serving it, of seeing the welfare of it. And this is where most folks who attend an assembly, that walk into a church on a Wednesday night Bible class or Wednesday night prayer meeting or whatever they do on Wednesday nights, they only see their giving as a responsibility. That's all they see it as, if they see it as that. It's a responsibility to keep the doors open. And I got to tell you, sometimes, I was going to save this guy, but sometimes it's done more like that. That, by the way, if you know Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist, that's his dummy, Walter, who I think looks amazingly like our vice president, if he was bald. And therefore, all they're doing is just simply meeting a responsibility. Well, let's get off Walter because you're never going to be able to concentrate. We're going to pull him out a little bit later on when we talk about some of the terminology at the end of these things that describes them. But that's the way it's viewed. It's viewed by most Christians, by most people who walk into a local church as, I got to give money, that's my responsibility to keep the doors open, to keep the ministry going, to keep it up and running, and therefore, what's different now is that you as a son, you see that your Father looks on that very thing you've been doing as an opportunity. You ever see somebody doing something, and it's not that they're doing it wrong, it's just that they don't realize what they're doing. That's kind of what you're going to have to come to the conclusion of. It's not that I've been doing something wrong here. It's just that I haven't realized exactly what I've been doing. It isn't just simply a responsibility, but my father looks at it as an opportunity to serve. By the way, let's keep this in mind and keep all of this going in everything that we've been bringing to it. It's designed to actually serve, not with the diversities of gifts here, but with the more excellent way, is to serve the different administrations of the Lord Himself. That responsibility that I've looked at is only a responsibility of giving. My Father looks at as an office that serves the body, the Lord Himself. And then goes on to actually fulfill a diverse operation, one of the operations of God that He wants to get accomplished in my sonship training. Man, that takes something that you may do on a that almost gets mundane basis, and that brings a grandeur to what you're doing. Not to mention the fact that because of that, you're going to be in a better position to then begin to discern other needs as they begin to arise, and they will arise in this assembly, whether we grow in numbers or not. The needs will arise because we're going to grow in our sonship education and grow in edification. But that's a fantastic thing, because as a son, you've got your antenna up now. You're coming into the class, and you're looking for those things. You're actually looking for something to do, and you're coming into the assembly now with a different set of eyes, so to speak, because you're now actively always on the lookout for practical needs to be met, and you're giving to whatever area of practical need that you give to is now going to be perceived by you properly. And we're going to talk about this in the post-doctrinal exhortation when we go back to Proverbs to get it. I intended to get back to Proverbs tonight, but not for that reason. We'll see if we can get there or not. But you're going to be able to respond, listen, not just positively. That isn't going to cut it. Your response has two sides to it. And from now on, it's always going to have these two sides. We're going to, when we get done with verse 8, before we go on to the next component in verse 9, we're going to go back and get that post-doctrinal exhortation in detail. And then every time we finish a component without going into detail, we're going to go back and remind ourselves of that same thing. And it's the issue of the way you respond to a body of information has to be more than just simply by your positive response to it. But with every positive response, there comes along with it on the other side of that coin a proper response to that positive response. That's why I've called it a positive and proper response. There, you say, well, what in the world's the difference? There is a difference. And David made Solomon aware that there was a difference. That you could be positive. You could say to your father, I get it, Dad. I understand what you're saying. I don't have a problem with what you're saying. But it's not just an intellectual exercise where it's a settled matter in your mind. Edification doesn't just occur in the mind. It occurs in conduct, in behavior, and in labor. And there's not just simply a positive response to it. There has to be a proper response to it. And in that proper response to it is where it becomes a living matter for you from now on. I've seen and talked to more Christians who are positive toward Bible doctrine and had forgot tons of what they had learned because it was never put into practice, it was never put into action, it was never utilized. It was just a collection of doctrinal baseball cards that they shoved in a shoebox in their mind. That's not sonship. Sonship demands not only a positive response, but it demands one that is proper. And it's that proper response where you're actually going to take that information and put that thing into living practice to be an ever-sensitive, continuous matter in your life. And God's designed it so that you can do that without forgetting stuff. It's just the process and the way in which he builds things and the way things are all attached one to another. And that was his job to figure that out in the curriculum, but that's the genius of what you've got in your hand. Well, as a son, we're going to see that. We're going to see with these eyes now where we're looking out for practical needs, and we're going to be always looking for an area that we could meet a need to give, and that's got to now be properly perceived by you as the function in a particular office. That's an office that the body is designed to have. It's just like when Paul said right up there in verse 4, "And for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same," not function, "office." That's a functional office within a body. And giving is a functioning office within a body that has tremendous ramifications to it and tremendous areas in which it can operate. That's why it's broad and general. But that's to be perceived by you now. You may not change, really, some of you may not come along and really change anything that you're doing, but what has changed dramatically is the way you perceive what you're doing. And you're doing it now in the sense of understanding the office in which you're functioning. And by the way, this is going to demand that you talk this over in some real communion and fellowship with your Father about it. Because that office is something that my Father, your Father, God Himself, just as we learned back there, we'll turn to it right now, in 1 Corinthians 12, He set every member so in the body. Well, He set giving, ruling, showing all those offices. He set them so in the body for members to function in. And the truth is, all of the giving type offices really meets, if you want to kind of distinguish it where you can say, okay, let's gather this one up so that it doesn't bleed into showing mercy, maybe it would help to define it this way. All of the giving type offices of a local assembly really comes down to meeting some material need. When you start talking about loving, and that is giving, but now you're starting to kind of leech into showing mercy a little bit here. But really, the giving aspects, the practical giving aspects of the local assembly are going to meet some physical need of the assembly or of someone else, someone in the assembly. And I just say that to make a distinction maybe in your mind between the issue of giving and showing mercy. But even then, like I said, I don't really care if it's all that distinct, because the whole point here is to labor in an office. So whether it's giving or showing mercy, you're still functioning and laboring in an office. So bully, you know, I'm not going to harp on it, but just hopefully if that helps, fine. If not, just wad it up and throw it away. But hopefully by just what we've gone over, your thinking now is starting to go beyond the issue of finances. If we can accomplish that, we've accomplished something. And I don't think that's for our assembly, that's a cinch. That's easy. Because we understood that for a long time. But you should be thinking now and perceiving that there really are a lot of things, even in this little church, that could fall under the category of the office of giving. But the big issue here is that you view your giving as, and I hope you do this, something far more important than maybe you've ever viewed it before. And I'm not just talking about finances and money. I'll tell you one thing, the most dramatic thing that has happened in this local assembly in just the last 3 or 4 months is the way I view you. I see you differently than I've ever seen you before. And that's why I sometimes get very passionate about us functioning as a body and that dynamic of that living union that happens when we assemble ourselves together. That in most people's ears, that would just sound like you're crazy. Well, like I said, if you think I'm crazy now, you ain't heard nothing yet. But I know it's true. I know that this thing is designed to be something far, and you should begin viewing the office you fill. And if it's this giving office, you see this with far more importance than you ever have before. You've never even maybe thought of it with that kind of importance, but it is important because you now have something that you didn't bring to it before you got to Romans 12, 3, 4, and 5. You now have godly, selfless love plus the body attributes of body conduct and body type behavior, where you now acknowledge that every office of every member of the body is important and useful. And they're not all equally comely. There's some offices, and when I say an office, you ought to immediately almost hyphenate that with an office member. A member holding an office. There's not every member of the body, every office of the body that's comely, but that's okay. We've gone over that. The Father doesn't view it any less importance. We understand what it means to have been dealt the same measure of faith. But you're starting to put some things together. You're starting to get body thinking going, and you're realizing that every body part and every office and everyone functioning, they're all needful to the body. And again, just to pick up on what was said before and point this out, since we do have an internet site, there's needs that have to be met there that maybe some of you have never thought about, where you might be able to give something. But there's a whole bunch of folks, from what I understand, and a whole bunch is relative, but there are some folks out there that are utilizing our website as their only means of godly sonship edification. That's all they got. And again, this may fall under more of showing mercy, but that's one of the reasons why I posted what I did back there. Some of those people need some encouragement. And they may need to have some mercy shown to them with some cheerfulness. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But there's some things that you may not have even thought of. I can guarantee you this. If there's something that you see, even on the internet, or even around here, if there's something that you see that you would like to either, how can I put this? I don't want to walk into a door here, but if there's something that, maybe I ought to just shut up. If there's something that you would like to have accomplished, and you may even have made it known, but it hasn't been accomplished, I'll speak for myself. I'll tell you exactly why that hasn't been done. I don't have the time to do it. That's why. But somebody else does. But I don't. I guarantee you, when people ask me things, it's very rare that I ever just forget about it. But something in my job has taken a priority above it. And that's why we've always been honest with one another and operated that way. And we don't come along and ask for things. But this is going to be more critical that you realize, could this be something that I could do? Maybe it's a job that would just take a week or two out of my time to get it done, and it'll be done. For instance, now this is what I shouldn't be doing, is giving you an instance. But our ministry, that website that we've got, really is expanding our body a little bit. Our ministry, our body has remote members. And there's another opportunity there to meet some practical needs by your giving. Maybe I ought to put it this way. There's some needs that are pending. This would be a better way to say it. There are some needs that are pending someone determining to step forward and at least inquire if there's anything that they can do to meet some of the needs that are kind of hanging right now, so to speak. But for various reasons, they can't be met by the few that are currently working in the area of our website. Is that vague enough? If you ever inquire, I'll tell you what could be done. But along with this is the issue. This is just one of those things that maybe you have never thought about before. And what I'm trying to get you to do is to think about in giving that there's a few more aspects to this ministry maybe than you've given a lot of deep thought to. It may just be surface in your thinking. But along with this issue is that you appreciate that in the area of giving, I want you to understand also, just along these same lines with like the internet site, there are needs in a local assembly that are practical needs that do come and go, or that are just temporary. But the point is, in all that you recognize there's a whole lot of areas besides money, once again, where you can contribute, where you can utilize godly selfless love, you can utilize those body attributes of conduct and behavior to occupy an office of giving and labor with your Father in what He wants to get accomplished in fulfillment of one of the diverse operations, in this case, the practical needs of our local assembly. Well, I think we're at a point where I kind of knew I was going to wind up at an awkward point tonight. But before I go on, what I want to do and I guess I'm going to have to save this until Sunday, because it just if I launch into this, it's going to take me longer than I've got time for tonight. But I want to address again that issue, and maybe it'll be good to let this percolate a little bit until Sunday. That's a word Keith used to use a lot on me. We'll let it go for now, just percolate on that. I never drank coffee, but I guess I was more, looked kind of like a percolator. But I want to return to something when we come back together on Sunday that I talked about before, and that is about their... When we're talking about things like this in a very general way, if there's any measure of frustration in your mind for not being told exactly what to do. By the way, I'm not frustrated. I don't have any frustration over it. Either things are going to get accomplished or they're not. I don't get mad. I'm not mad about it at all. I'm not even upset about it. I just want to see the effectual working of God's Word do its job. That's what I'm concerned with. But I think what we'll do is we'll let it go there. And I want to examine some things back in Proverbs when we come back on Sunday that correspond in the exhortation to where we are before we go on to ruling and showing mercy and talking about all the rest of it. Getting one of these under our belts enough to be able to start handling it, I want to be able to alleviate any kind of sitting out there and gnawing your what are those fingernails down in worry over what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It shouldn't be that way at all. And again, a lot of this isn't going to just completely gel and come together until we get that post-doctrinal exhortation in detail, so that you have the wherewithal to respond to everything positively and properly when we get to it. So I think I'll stop right there and let that go. And on Sunday we'll address some of these other issues, and then we'll flesh out hopefully all three of these. But we'll see if we can do them after getting the first one under our belts. The other two will go pretty quick. But let's let that go for now, and we'll pick it up right there and continue on with this first great, and it is a great office, that anyone could have in this local assembly, the office of giving and giving with simplicity. Well, we'll stop right there and pick it up then on Sunday morning with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to begin appreciating the work that can go on in the local assembly as you do, and to see this as labor with you and what you're doing in an operation with some real intelligence behind it. We thank you for these matters that help train us, that prepare and equip us to be able to have the skill sets that we will need in the heavenly places, and pray that we do respond positively and properly to them so that we continue our sonship edification and education just as you intended. We thank you again for all these matters and pray for your wisdom in them as we deal with you about them, talk with you and fellowship with you about them in our activity as members of this local assembly and members one of another. We just thank you for this wisdom that we have received tonight and pray for its usefulness in our lives from now on. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.